So let me wish you Shavuot Tov. So Kuf Yud Alpha Amid Beis, let's just do a little bit of a chazorah here. On the bottom of the daf, which is where we want to start, but I think we'll go back to the top of the daf of Kuf Yud Alpha Amid Beis just for a chazorah, just to highlight. It was a three-part series. First part, we have a discussion about a sakin. So he used the knife to cut the Beis HaShechita, and the Gemara assumes that the Beis HaShechita is Roseach, and therefore the sakin is Bolea Dam, and therefore he should not use that sakin to cut anything of Heter. And the Gemara differentiates between the following. If he's going to cut something that's roseach, that's hot, then you're going to need shishim. Then it's a real serious issur because there's going to be an asinus tam from the sakin. The sakin was bolea, the tam of dam, through the process of shechita, because the beis hashechita is roseach, and now that dam is going to be niflat into hot food. If it's tzonein, then we have an issue about hadocha. That was the first part of the sugya. The second part of the sugya was a double statement in the name of Shmuel. And that is, number one, Maliach Harehu Kiroseach, and number two, Kovush Harehu Kimevushal. So, for example, in the case of Maliach Harehu Kiroseach, if he uses a certain kli, a certain receptacle, the Gemara calls it a kara, for salting meat, and the blood is now saturated into the walls of this utensil, this kara, because of the principle of maliach harehu kiroseach, then he cannot use this kli henceforward. Again, we'll have to talk about using it for tzone, but let's come back to that in just a minute. And the additional principle of Shmuel was that kovush harei kimevushal. Ravin came back from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel with the tradition that Rabbi Yochanan did not accept the principle of maliach kiroseach, and for that matter, not the principle of kovush kimevushal. And Abai says that that cannot be a reliable tradition. And he proves it from the fact that Rabbi Ami, who's the outstanding disciple of Rabbi Yochanan, took a pinka and he smashed it. A pinka was a receptacle used for malicha, malicha's dam, and it was a kli cheres. Now, how could Rabbi Ami destroy a kli unless he had heard from his Rebbe that maliach harehu kiroseach? Based on that principle, it makes sense that he would break the kli because the kli cheres, this pinka, would have absorbed the tam of dam as a result of the process of malicha and maliach harehu kiroseach. Hence, Abai rejects this statement of Ravin in favor of the tradition of Rabbi Ami, which would support the tradition of Shmuel, the opinion of Shmuel, that maliach harehu kiroseach. Now, we had a long discussion about why Rabbi Ami, even assuming maliach kiroseach, would have had to take this kli cheres and destroy it. Why couldn't he designate it for use bitzonein? Because even though there's a saturation of tam isur, in this case tam dam, in the walls of the kli cheres, and you can't get that out through hagolah, through any process of heksher, but nevertheless, if you're using it only bitzonein, that should be perfectly acceptable. So why would he have destroyed the kli? So we had two different approaches to this answer this question, and they were both attributed to the Ramban. The Ramban's first answer was that Rabbi Ami was afraid that if he allowed this pinka to be used for tzonein, then ultimately people would use it for Chamin as well. They would make that confusion. His second answer was, and this is a real radical chiddush that could have tremendous halachic implications, that a kli cheres, once it's bolea iser bechamin, and again we're holding now the moliach hareu kiroseh, so it's like chamin, then you're not allowed to use that kli even for tzonin, hence you have to destroy it. Why? Because the blia of isur is so significant, it's so voluminous, kol kach mea isur nivla, and gufo shel isur you can't use even bitzonein. Im avar v'shtamish ben bitzonein, then we're not going to asa the food b'dieved. If he, let's say, he used this klicheres, this pinka, which was completely balua b'dam, and he used it for some cold, cold kosher food, we're not going to asa the food. But in such a case, the food itself is going to require hadacha. And therefore, l'chatchila, whenever you have a situation where if you use a kli, it would require hadacha, you want to get rid of that kli and destroy it. Now, the Ritva is bothered by the fact that Rabbi Avin didn't sell this kli to a guy. At least he could have gotten a couple of piastres for it. The piastres, because there's no chashash here if the guy wants to use the kli, although he admits that maybe the guy will sell, he'll be a middleman and he'll pass on this kli to a Jew, and the Jew will unknowingly use the kli for chamin, let's say. But he says, the Ritva, that ka'ara yeshana, since it's a used kli, is ein bo chashash v'yikno so Yehudi miyadam. Jews are not about to buy used kelim from goyim. That's not what we usually do. You could buy a new kli from a goy, but not, and detoval it if necessary, but not an old kli. But Rabbi Ami lo chashash lo ad kedei kach v'lachein shavra. I don't know exactly what the Ritva means. I'm just going to assume that it was such an inexpensive kli that it didn't bother him to just get rid of it instead of starting to put it on eBay and try to find a buyer for a used kli, kli pinka. And that led us to the next part of the sugya, which was a statement of Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana has a resha and a seifa. And this was, I think, the last thing we did last week. The Reisha would simply support or reiterate what we've seen until now, that Moliach HaRehu Kiroseach, and therefore if you have a receptacle that was used for Malicha, you're not allowed to use it for hot kosher food, because the receptacle, this Kara, has absorbed the Tam of Dam through Malicha. Okay, that's the Reisha. No great Chidushim in the Reisha. But the Seifa is a real chiddush that's going to occupy our minds for a while. And he says that tznon shechatocho besakin muto liochlo bekutach, which means that you took a knife that was fleshix and you used it to cut a radish. Now, the knife obviously has a blia of basar. And not only does it have a tam balu of basar, there's also shamnudis of basar that's krusha al gabe asakin. And now he cuts a radish. So l'chori have a whole host of problems if he wants to use that radish in a milch kavix. Number one, the tam balu of basar should be polite into the tznon. Now you can always argue against that he cut it bitzonin, and therefore the tam balua was not niflat into the tznon. However, you still have another issue of the shamnunis of basa that's krusha al gabi hasakin, this outer film of, again, it's maybe not something that's necessarily apparent to the naked eye, but the halacha considers that this fleshka knife has a certain amount of tam shamnunis of basar. And yet, to our surprise, Rav Kahana says, mutuli ochlo bekutach, you're allowed to eat it with with a mixture of milk. You know, that kutach is some sort of a yogurt mixture. The Gemara Pesachim Adaf Mem Beis tells us exactly how they prepared this kutach. In Bavel, it was a mixture of milk, or the whey of milk, what we call the siuve chalav, together with melach and salt. And they put it into with some cheese and pas mu'upeshes and so forth, the whole 9 yards. So the question is, my timer. So let's take a look and see if we can find a place so we can start Abaye and Rava inside. We're approximately halfway down the Amud.
I have an Abaye and Rava right in front of me.
You have it. Okay, I'm just gonna make an announcement for myself, you know, that I have it, my timer. Just 1 second. There are a few my timers here, so yeah. I just gotta make sure I got the right one. Oh, here's my timer. And the first two words in the line are Omar Abaye. So the skinny lines, it's about, I would say, 2/3 down the skinny lines. Omar Abaye. Hi. This stone that was cut with a fleshka knife, hetera bola. What was nivla, what was now absorbed into the radish? It was not something that's awesome. It was a tambasa. The tambasa is mutter. And therefore, it's not like the fresha of Rav Kahana with the case of Akara that was used for Malicha, because in the case of the Kara, Isura Bola, the dam that was Nivla through the process of Malicha, was Isura Bola. Now, in this comment of Abaye and his interpretation of the underlying distinction between Ka'ara Shemolof Barbosa and the Reisha of Rav Kahana and Snon Shechot Chosakin in the Seifa of Rav Kahana, here we have a Tosus Dibra Maskel Omar, which is the second Tosus on the Amud, and we have a long discussion here about whether or not Abaye actually accepted Rav Kahana. Usually, you know, the mechanics of Shas is such that if Rabbi so-and-so, you know, we'll call him X, he made a statement, and then Rabbi Y comes along to explain the underlying logic of Rabbi X's statement, you assume that Rabbi Y accepts that statement. But here, we have an exception to the rule. Abaye is only coming to explain Rav Kahana, but we'll see soon that Rabbi himself certainly rejects this principle, and Abaye's his own personal opinion would be that a sakin shel basar, if you cut a radish, you're not allowed to eat that radish with milchiks. Now Tosa says that what was olal adas in Abaye's mind to try to explain and justify the underlying logic of Rav Kahana, the tznon was bolea Hetera, meaning the basar. So Tosus adds the following. The tam basar that goes into the radish is not going from basar into the radish. It wasn't like he cooked the radish together with meat or anything of that sort, but rather he used this sakin to cut meat, and now the tam of the basar goes into the sakin. Now, from the sakin, when he cuts the radish with this knife, the tam bolua of the basar is niflat and goes into the radish. So the knife is really just a medium. Yes, it's a medium that facilitates the transfer of the tam basar from the original basar into the radish, but through the intermediary of the sakin. And that, Tosa says, is a tam kolosh. That's a weak tam. It's not the direct tam of meat into the radish, but an indirect tam. The tam goes first into the sakin, and then from the sakin into the radish. By the time you get to the radish, it's already a tam sheni, which he calls a tam kolosh. Now, what's the status in halacha of a tam kolosh? Does the Torah say that a tam kolosh is something that generates isur? It's a bliyahos seres. And the answer is, it all depends upon whether that tam is isura or hetera. If it's hetera, then it doesn't transfer an isur. A tam kolosh of heter. You know, so we have A plus B. We have two variables that combine, and we must have both of them. We have number one, a tam kolosh, and number two, we have a tam of heter. If you combine those two, then it doesn't generate an isur. And this is a beautiful presentation of Tosis, because it's going to really help us explain our main sugya for today, or if not for today, the end of today and the beginning of tomorrow, which is Dagum Shalom Bakara. But yet Tosis rejects this. Why? He says, because why does Abai himself at the end of this Amud, Kuf Yud Alf Amud Beis, hold that Snon Shenechtach Besakin Shel Basar is Asur? You're not allowed to use that Snon in Milchiks. Why doesn't he use this logic of Heterev Bola? And the answer is because there's another variable in this equation, and that is the fact that the radish is defined as a Dover Charif. And a Dover Charif is bolea a tam basar mamish. So this whole business about, you know, one tam that goes into here, and then there's a second tam, and therefore it's a tam kolush, and it's no sein tam bar no sein tam. All that is completely undermined, is completely vitiated by the principle called charifus. And therefore the tam of the radish, which is a tam charif, has the power to remove the tam of basar from this knife, as if the basar and its tam went directly into the radish. And therefore it doesn't make sense that Abaye would explain Rav Kahana based on a principle that would be inapplicable according to Abaye's own logic. Meaning, it's very nice to talk about, a tam kolush and heterev bola and the whole nine yards, but not in the case of a davar charev, because Abaye holds that davar charev completely neutralizes that whole system of a tam kolush. It's not a tam kolush; it's a really live, full, genuine tam. The Ritva, on the other hand, says that the reason for Abaye is that the blia of the tznon was bitzonen. It was not a hot radish that was cut by this knife. The tznon, the radish, was tzonen. It's interesting that it's the same four letters. You know, a tznon, if you change the vocalization underneath it, the nekudos, you get to tzonen. But you have to put the vav before the nun. Okay, but anyway, it's the same four letters. So we have a tznon sonen. And a tznon sonen is only bolea, says the Ritva, a tam kolosh. So that's really interesting, that according to the Ritva, and this can have tremendous repercussions down the line, the halacha of a dover charif, which makes a tam kolosh into a full-fledged tam, only applies becham, bechamin, but not bitzone.
Where does he see that in the Gemara, though?
Again, he's trying to... What's pushing the Ritva here is to try to understand why is Abaye applying the principle of hetera bola to something that is about to be put into Isur, right? You're going to take this fleshikatam, which is now bolua in the tznon, in this radish, and now you're going to throw that tznon into a milchika mixture. Like, what's the logic of Abaye? So Tosis gave a whole beautiful logic of Abaye, but he rejected it because of Abaye's own shita, his commitment to a davar charif. Comes along the Ritva, he says, wait a minute, you know what? Davar charif makes sense if you're talking about something hot. But if you're talking about something total cold, then the charifus has no impact. And that could be an explanation for Abaye. Now, Abaye himself may hold that it's known as bolea from the sakin, the tam shel mamish, a full-fledged tam, even if it's tzonen. But at least in explaining and justifying Rav Kahana, Abaye came up with this svara of hetera bola. And he was not impressed by davar charif because it was tzonen and not rosea. Okay. Amale Rava. So Rava attacks Abai's logic. He says, Ki bola hetera, even if I agree with you that the blia here into the tzonein of Basar is only heter, my havi, why is that relevant? The tzonein now has a blia of Basar. Sof, hayeter dosu de isurahu. He's going to take this heter, which is Basar, and he's going to add it to the milchika concoction, to this kutach, and then it becomes also because it's a mixture of milk and meat. And the isurah ka'achel, and now he's going to eat this stone inside the kutach, mixed as an ingredient in the kutach, and now he's going to be toim atam of isur, because he has now a basar that's ma'ur of b'chola. So how could this be? Now again, what exactly is Rava's objection here, based on everything that we discussed in the context of Tosus and the Ritva, could be that Rava's really bringing up what we know to be the status of a Dover Charif, and in the case of a Dover Charif, we have a real full-fledged Tom of Basar. Because again, if you don't introduce Dover Charif here, you're really in trouble with the whole Sugiv Nat Parnat that we're going to have, because this is a Tom Kolosh, and a Tom Kolosh of Heta does not generate Isur. So what does he mean, Asili De Isura? You're going to have to assume that this is not a Tom Kolosh. Now why is this not a Tom Kolosh? And the answer must be because it's a Dover Charif. But now, it's very nice that Rava has played, shall we call it, a destructive role, and he throws the bowling ball at the pins of Abaye. But at the end of the day, we want to understand Rav Kahana. So can Rava offer a substitute, alternative interpretation of Kahana? Hello, Omar Rava. You know what the significance of the Hetera Bola here is? Hi, Efshal Mitame. We can begin to understand the difference between the Reisha of Rav Kahana and the Sefer of Rav Kahana. Let's just go over it one more time. In the Reisha, you have a Kara Shemolach Babasar. So that means that the Kara now has a Bli of Dam in it. Why? Because we're holding Moliach Arehu Kiroseach. And according to Rava, Vahai Lo Efshal Levitame, what are you going to do now if you cook something in that kahara? Are you going to give it to Yankel Beryl and taste it and ask him, do you taste the Tom of Dam? I mean, Chas v'Sholom, if there is a Tom of Dam, it's a little bit late after he tasted it and he swallowed it. And if he give him the kara and say, you know, taste the kara, so he's going to take a bite into the kara. How can he know when this kara is going to give a tam of basa? There's no possibility of te'ima. But the case of tznon, efshal mitame, before you mix it with the kutach, just give it a bite and decide. Obviously, you want to be honest about it, whether there's a tam of basa in it. So what Rav Kahana really has in mind here is not that you could automatically, absolutely allow the radish to go into the kutach if it was cut by a flesh knife, but rather you can taste it first. And if you come to the conclusion that when you tasted the radish, there was no additional taste, that mixture of basar in that time, then and only then you can take it and cook it together with, or I don't know about cooking it right now, but anyway, you can mix it together with kutach.
You're starting with something with the tamhete.
Correct. You have a tamhete, so therefore te'ima is a real valid possibility. Now, in this note here, he has a question of drush v'chidush of Rabbi Kiva Eger, keitzad efshal hater tznon al yidei te'ima. He doesn't know how you could be matir this radish through te'ima. Hello, gamim ein tam habasar murgash bo. Even if you taste the radish and you come to the conclusion that you don't taste the meat, adayin yesh bo mashahu basar. Let's say it has less than 1/60, so that's a tam mashahu. Bekevon adayin lo irev oso bekutach. Until the point that he already mixed it with the kutach, hareza kedomer sheyesh lo matirin. And I think what basically Rabbi Kivega is applying is a kind of din of eimavat lenisa lechatchilim. You're not allowed to take this tam, even if it's a tam of mashu, and mix it together with milk in such a way that you now have a tarumas and the mashu is batel. Like, for example, let's say I had 60 plus pieces of meat. Am I allowed to pour a drop of milk in such a way that I know for sure the drop of milk would be batel? I'm not allowed to do such a thing. And furthermore, he says that since it's up to him to decide whether he's going to mix this stone together with a mixture of milk, meaning a kutach situation, then he can easily decide he's not going to mix it. So that's called a davar sheish lo matirin. Davar sheish lo matirin means that you don't have a need to apply bittul. Just simply don't mix it in if you haven't mixed it in. And the law is that a davar sheish lo matirin is also even mashu. It's never batel. And Rabbi Kivega answers that yitachen, perhaps zeu taimo shel Abaye, and this is why Abaye lahalocha makes the final decision, shetznon shechatocho besakin shel basar also li ochlo bekutach. Abaye is not going to allow you to take this tznon and add it to a kutach. And you might ask, well, let's just taste the radish and see whether there's any sort of residue of basar in it. The answer is there's going to be a mashu, and if there's a mashu of basar, then it's not permissible to take that mashu of basar and mix it into milk, because that's a davar sheish lo matirin. When you have the option of completely avoiding bittul, you know, when bittul is a necessity, then the Torah, the halacha, relies on bittul. Achshitas Rava Hamatir al Yedei Teima Bir Rabbi Kivega Shehu Sover Shedav Sheish Matir Botel B'Tarove Shel Min B'She'eno Mina. Okay, so that you have to know a lot more about the Vittel than what we know at this particular point. Amalei Rav Papala Rava. So Rav Papa now asks the following kasha on Rava. V'Letaimei Kfeila Armah. You're worried about the kara that was used for melichas basar, and therefore it has a tam of dam that's balua. Litame, why? Okay, so you can't taste the, let's say, the mixture that was cooked inside this kara, but you can certainly give it to a guy. And he's called a kfela. Kfela means a chef or a cook or some sort of professional baker. And he's an expert on te'ima, and he knows that we're going to rely on him, and we trust him, we give him business. So he's going to determine whether he tastes the dominant. And if you have doubts, says Rav Papa, as to whether or not the halacha recognizes and relies on te'imas kfela, I'll prove it to you from the following braisa. There's a little bit of a girsa problem here, because in our Gemara it says Milo Tanan, it should be Milo Tanya, it's a Braisa. That's, you'll see here, the Hagos Vitziyudin. So we're about to learn the Braisa in Trumos, it's in the Tosefta in Trumos in the 8th Perek, that's going to establish the concept of Te'imas Kfela, a non-Jew. Now, just on the side, this is not our sugya, but just to take our sugya to more broad, universal, halachic world, we don't usually trust a guy. Even one Jew is a problem in Eidus, but at least in Isurim, it's Eid Echadem Bisurim, he has their manus, but that's only an Eid Kosher. In this case, we're relying on a guy, but the answer is that the halacha relies on a guy whenever we have reason to believe that the guy is telling us the truth. Again, not because the guy has the status of their manos. That concept doesn't apply to a guy. But if we have evidence, and the guy, if we have reason to believe he's telling the truth, it's no worse than any evidence. It's not a din of their manos or edus, but it's evidence. Now, why do we believe he's telling the truth? And throughout Shas, you have a number of different possible reasons for that. Either because, let's say, if the guy is hiring Jewish workers, then he'll treat them in a certain way because he doesn't want to lose the possibility of getting Jews to work for him. And that's in the laws of Yichud, You'll have that in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. You have other sugyas where we believe a guy because he has financial investments. If we don't trust him and we find him to be lying, we're not going to hire him in the future. And in all these cases, we, you know, the famous tshuva Rabbi Moshe Feinstein about Cholav Akum in America, because there the guy is afraid that if he mixes camel's milk or pig's milk with the cow's milk, he's going to get fined and he'll lose his license and so forth and so on. So again, it's not that the guy is believed, but that we have external evidence which indicates that he's telling the truth. He happened to get it right, if you follow what I mean. So let's look at the Braisa now in the 8th parak of Trumos. And the Braisa has a Resha and a Seifa. Kidera shevishal ba basar, lo yivashal ba cholav, ve'im bishel b'nosein tam. So what this means is the following. That if you cooked in a pot meat, you're not allowed to use that pot to cook milk, but if you went ahead and you did so, then it all depends upon whether there's a taste of meat in the milk. Now again, b'nosein tam here, that phrase should not be interpreted in the way we usually interpret it, which means is there a ratio of 1 to 60, but b'nosein tam means let's just figure out if there's a, you know, let's b'metzius determine whether there's a tam of basar in the cholah. The Seifa says, another case of a kedera, shebishal b'truma, lo yivashal b'chulin, right, let's say you want to feed meat or potatoes or bread or whatever it is, cooked bread, you want to feed it to a zar, a non-kohen, and you cook this chulin in a pot that was used for truma. So you're not allowed to do such a thing, because again, the tam of the truma is going to go into the basar, and the zar is going to eat that basar, or whatever it is, I'm using basar, it could be anything, and he's going to violate the Isur of Zaros. That's Achiv Misa B'dei Shemayim, very severe Isur. But the Im Bishol, he went ahead and he cooked chulin in a trumadika pot, is b'nosein tam. Let's just taste it and see if there's a taste of that truma. We're talking apparently about min b'sheino mino. Right, so let's say the truma was made of bread, and now he's cooking meat. Is there a bread taste in the meat, or something along that line? The Amrinon and Rava in a Braisa in Masechta Zvachim, where this sugya is quoted, he makes the following analytic comment. Bishleim, I understand the Seifa, this Braisa, that you can taste the mixture and find out if there's a taste of the truma in the chulin. How? The time lay kohen, just give it to a kohen. Because the worst case scenario, if he tastes the truma in the chulin, so what? He's a ladi truma. So that's good. We can determine, we could be omed al kach with his argoshas tam, by simply giving it to someone to taste, in this case a kohen. El of a ratio, but what do we do in the case of Basar Mechol of Man Toilet? Who's going to be allowed to taste this, you know, this cholov that was cooked in a fleshika pot to determine whether there's a taste of meat in the cholov? What does it mean by no same time? And again, the assumption here is that when it says b'nosein tam, it doesn't mean what it usually means in many, many different Mishnayos, that it depends upon the ratios, is the shishim, is the not shishim. But this Braisa could not be talking about shishim or not shishim, because, well, you know, how would you know how much blia there was to determine whether it's shishim or not? You know, shishim, the phrase b'nosein tam is applicable if you have a mixture of milk and meat, like the tipas chol of Bakar Kuf Ches, then you can talk about b'nosein tam. Did the milk actually give tam into the basar? But here you're talking about a fleshika pot. So how are you going to get a clue of b'nosein tam? The answer is we're going to give it to someone to taste. Well, who's going to taste it for you? No Yisrael is allowed to taste it. The Amar Lan, and the answer to this question is Latamek Fela, that this Braisa must be predicated on the premise, on the principle, that if you don't know whether there's a taste of the meat and the milk, then you're allowed to give it to an expert guy, you know, we'll call him an achtom, you know, some sort of professional chef. He'll tell us whether there's a tamei basar in the challah. So that's the brisa in Masechta Terumos. Now let's pull back to our discussion of Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana, in the case of the kara shemolach babasar, he said that you have to prohibit this kara. Why? Because it's a time of dam, and we can't give it to any Yisrael to taste. Hachanami here too. Why don't we apply the same principle that we applied to basar b'cholov in the brisa and shumas l'tamei kfeila? We'll give it to a kfeila, and he'll tell us whether it's a time of dam in the tavshil that you cooked inside this this kli, this utensil that was used for melichas and dam. So the Gemara answers, Eino chinami. Rava says to Rapapa chinami, this is exactly the halacha, that if there's a nachtum kfeila goy who's available, and he'll tell us that in fact there's no tam of dam, that everything is mutter. And then you're allowed to cook it up as hot as you would, as you want. But kika mina, what I said that, or Rav Kahana actually said that it was also, that's been a leka kfeila. There's no kfeila available. And if there's no kfeila available, then we have to assume that there is in fact a tam of dam, and therefore we're not allowed to. We're not allowed to use this kli, and we're not allowed to eat the food that was cooked in the kli. So we're on the verge of starting the famous sugi of not bar not. But first, there's a very long footnote here in the name of the Rajpa. So we're going to try to understand the Rajpa if we can. Ketzad, he says, I don't understand. Ketzad mo'ila te'imas kfeila. How is it meaningful for the kfeila to ilavarer she'ein b'kli tam dam klal? He says the following. The impression you get from our sugya is that our discussion in the context of the resha of Rav Kahana ka'ora she'molach babos is primarily focused on the kara itself. Are you allowed to eat from this kara? What is the deal with this ka'ara? You know, ka'ara, do you classify it as Isur or not? He says at this point, says Rashba, it's ridiculous, it's totally inapplicable to talk about te'imas kfeila. He says, ketzad mo'ila te'imas kfeila var she'ein bakli tam dam, and therefore lachshiro mikanu lahava. Lo matzinu, when do we find Himas Kfeila? El Machal. If you have foodstuff, Shiesh Lachsho Shema Bola, Tam Ha Isur, Valide Timim, Zbar Shein Bo Tam Isur. Avlavarim Yesh Tam Bakli, you want to know what's the status of this Kara? Are you allowed to use it henceforth or not? Minayin Mo'ila Te'ima, where. What's the exact application here of Te'ima? The Ode. Kama yevashlo v'kli v'yatimenu l'klipa l'kfeila, excuse me. Halo kara asuya lechol ba'afilu mashahu. Now, how much food are you going to put into this kli, this kara, and then after you put this hot food into the kara, you're going to give it to a kfeila? If you put a mashu inside, then we should really assume that the tam of dam that's balua in the kli is certainly going to penetrate into a mashu. So what are you going to do? You're going to put a massive amount of food into this kara and heat it all up and give it to a kfeila. So he says, I don't taste any dam. And therefore what? From now on you're going to use the kara? Who says you're not going to use the kara for a smaller volume and mistakenly think that there's no tam dam in the food that you cook in this kara? He says, kol kama shiyavashlo kidei lahatim l'kfeila, adan yesh lachshel shema imayim vashlim v'kli kamut mu'etet, we should always be choshesh that even if the guy tells you he doesn't taste any dan, that's because you put too much of a volume into the kara, volume of heter, and we should raise the possibility at least that if he had cooked in this kli a kamut mu'etet, then enochinami in a smaller volume, because of the great ratio of dam that's saturated into the walls of this kli, the guy would have now tasted the machli, would have told you, enochinami, I do taste dam. The tirates, and he wants to answer that she'elas rav papa madua emat imim lekfela uchivasel sharavas achenim yesh kfela yesh takonei de te'ima. This whole dialogue between Rav Kahan and Rava is Rak Legabe Tavshil Roseach Shahunach Bekara Zu. Shemashma Vidivre Rav Kahan Shatavshil Asur. That the understanding of the Gemara in Rav Kahan was that if you went ahead and you cooked in this Malicha Kara, then the Tavshil became Asur. And Rav Papa raises his eyebrows and he says, well, why not just give it to a kfeil and find out if there's a tam dam? Aval, says the Rashba, l'inyan hechsha kli liatzmo, if you would have asked the question as to what the status of the kli, am I allowed to use this kli? Achein ein lo takana. It's only if you went ahead and you cooked in the kli, that's what Rav Kahana says, that the foodstuff is asur, and Rav Papa objects, why not give it to a kfeila? And Rava says, Eichinam, we just didn't have a kfeila available. But as far as the kli is concerned, forget it. Elo takana, there's nothing that you can do with this kli. Then he quotes the Ran, and the Ran seems to agree with the Rashba, that heta te'imas kfeila lo nemar legabe haka'ara atzma l'inyana tav shel b'dieved. So this whole discussion here in our Gemara of Rava against back into Rav Papa, that we give it over to a guy to taste, that's only with regard to the tavshil that he went ahead and he cooked in the kara. But to allow l'chatchila to cook in the kara, that we can't do because there's no shaychus here of tivas kfeila. Mipnei shegam kishetoim kfeila adayin yeshno iser mashahu. So the Ran adds another element into this equation, and he says that, you know, we're not going to allow use of this kli based on the fact that after we use the kli, we'll give it to Kfeilin. He'll win the day for us, and he'll give us the good news that there's no time of dam. He says because even on the tzad that after we cook in this kli, the kfeila will taste this tavshil and tell us there's no tam of dam, there's still a mashah, as we discussed earlier in Rabbi Kivegan. And therefore, to go ahead and use a kli and cook in it when there's an isa mashu, that we're not allowed to do. Then he writes the following, V'nimtza shalemaskonas ha-gemara din snon shechatocho b'chsakin shel bosa v'rotza lochlo v'kutach eno kal midina shel kara shemolach b'bosar. He says at the end of the day the Reisha and the Sefer of Kahan are really equal. Why? Because in the case of the snon, you went ahead and you cook and you cut a radish with a sakin shel basar, and now he wants to eat it with kutach. So what's going to be the deal? He's going to taste it. If he doesn't taste it, then he's not allowed to put it into kutach. Same thing applies here in the kara shemolapa basar. If he wants to cook something in that kara, he's not going to be allowed to eat that which he cooked unless he tastes it. Again, he's not going to taste it, but the guy will taste it. So shneim asurim ad sheyivto behem. In both cases, if he used the tznon that was cut by a fleshing knife, or if he used the kara shemolap abosar for a tavshil, in both cases, asurim, whatever he has in front of him, whether it's the tznon or the tavshil, is asur ad sheyito behem. Again, the te'ima in the case of the tznon will be a timas yehudi. In the case of a kara shemolap abos will be te'imas kfeila, meaning nochri. V'yavtin she'ein tam abosu murgash behem. Once he determines that there's no tam murgash, whether it's a tam bos or the tam dam, then and only then can you eat the tafsha. But the kara itself, you know, you're going to have to really check out the kara. Now, how are you going to check out the kara? Then that's a bit of a problem, because as we said before, when we discussed the Rashba, you know, about kamos muetes and all that stuff, we don't know exactly how much you're going to cook in this kara in order to determine whether there's a time of dam, because you know you can cook a massive amount in this kara shem molach b'mosar, and Enochinami the Nachta will tell you it doesn't taste a vestige of dam. But had you cooked a smaller amount, he would have told you, wow, this is like eating dam. In the case of tznon, it's a little bit easier, because he cut the tznon with a fleishka knife. All he has to do is taste the tznon, and that's called Te'imas Yisrael, and he'll decide whether there's a taste of basar. And if he decides it's not, then he can use it in kutach. And that's exactly the seifa. So again, when you say that the Rav Kahana, the Reish of the Seifa, is more machmir in the Reish than it is in the Seifa, it's because of the following. That in the case of the Kaara itself, which was used for Malichas Basar, Te'imas Kfeil is not really going to help you much. Why? Because you'll never know exactly what kamus is appropriate, you know, to taste. Again, Timas Kfeil will be okay with the evet if you went ahead and you cooked. But as far as the status of the kara is, also lechel bo roseach, don't even dream of using it, because you'll never be able to really determine on an ongoing basis what the status of this kara is. You may have gotten away with it today because the tavshil was significant in its volume, and therefore the kfeila tells you is no tamdam, but that doesn't guarantee what's going to happen tomorrow or the day after. It all depends on the volume that you put into this kara. In the case of the tznon, he already cut the tznon with a fleishka knife, and let's just give the tznon over to anybody who has a good sense of taste and have him determine whether or not there's a taste of bos. So we don't have much time, but perhaps we can just at least, how should I say, get a bit of a head start here on the big sugya of Nat Bar Nat. Itmar, we learnt in the Beis Medrash that Dogim Sha'olu Bekara is Rav Omar also Liochlo Bekutach. We're more familiar with Shmuel Omar Mutal Liochlo Bekutach. Rav Omar Osur no Saint Tam Hu, Shmuel Omar Mutar no Saint Tam Bar no Saint Tam Hu. No Saint Tam Bar no Saint Tam Hu, which means that the Tam goes from the meat into the pot, from the pot into the dogim, and from the dogim into the kutach. And that's already a tam kolsh, and a tam kolsh of heta doesn't generate isa. That's Shmuel. Rav, on the other hand, says, look, you cook meat in the pot, and now you're cooking fish in that pot. The fish now absorbs the tam of the basar, and now it's fleishik of fish. So to take fleishik of fish and eat it with milchiks, that you absolutely cannot do. So the entire entity called Nat Bar Nat de Hetero, which means a tam kolish of heta doesn't generate isur, seems to have been rejected by Rav, and that's a pretty radical chiddush. You know, we're so familiar with Nat Bar Nat. The Gemara is going to go ahead and say that Rav never really said this, but we can imply it or infer it from something else that he said. So I'll just read to you quickly the footnote here on no same tam bar no same tam, which is the language of Shmuel. He says hatam anivla mimachol b'machol acher. So there's a tam bolua from one food that now is going to be polate and nivla in a second tam or betol kli. So the original tam that came from X, which is the isur or is the basar, is called a tam rishon. Hareyu ki ilu ikro shall no same tam. That's already the ikr no same tam. But it's already called Tam Rishon. So you went from the Tam to the Tam Rishon. And that Tam Rishon is now Bolu in the Kli. Now you cook something else in that kli. That's a tam sheni, and that's called nosein tam bar nosein tam. Okay, then. So Mitzvah Shem, we'll pick this up. Pick this up tomorrow.